The great irony is that we have in the English language more translations of the Bible than at any other time in history or in any other language or culture. And yet, across the spectrum of evangelical Christians in America, let alone those outside the churches, the level of knowledge of God's Word has never been lower.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, I think this really is a sad representation of today's culture. In fact, I know that a lot of Christian Bible colleges will do a survey of incoming freshmen, and many have said that the incoming freshman classes have more enthusiasm and more love for God than previous generations, but less Bible knowledge than ever.
Yeah, and of course the tragedy of that is that, of course, the enthusiasm cannot be sustained.
Right.
A fire is only sustained by fuel. And when the fuel runs out, then the fire burns out. And so a passion for Christ is unsustainable apart from a knowledge of Christ that comes through his word. So one of the reasons that colleges, Steve, are finding what you rightly said is that so often in churches, the pressure has been on pastors to give a short message that is high in feel-good factor,
right,
and low in biblical content. And I think that there is some turning of the tide, because people quickly get to the point of saying, you know, this may make me feel good for a short time, but it does not nourish my soul and it does not sustain my life. So we are so passionate about engaging people with the power of the open book and bringing the scriptures to bear. We're going to read today about a man who burned the Bible. Well, you know, a lot of folks today might not burn it, but to have a closed Bible is just about the same thing. It's to ignore the Word of God. Let's get the Word of God into our lives today, because it's going to nourish and sustain the fires of living for Christ.
Well, let's go ahead and do just that as we continue the message, Feed on God's Word. Here's Pastor Colin.
Look at verse 1 of Jeremiah 36. In the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, this word came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Take a scroll and write on it all the words I have spoken to you concerning Israel, Judah, and all the other nations from the time I began speaking to you in the reign of Josiah until now. And so Jeremiah called his secretary, a man by the name of Baruch, and began dictating the words of God that had been given to him over this period of 23 years. And sure enough, Baruch wrote them all down on a scroll. At the end of that time, Jeremiah said, verse 5, look at it there. I am restricted, he said. I cannot go to the Lord's temple. He'd been banned from speaking there because he was so unpopular. So he says to his secretary, Baruch, so you go to the house of the Lord, that's the temple, on a day of fasting, and you read to the people from the scroll the words of the Lord that you wrote as I dictated. Now there was a man who was in that crowd, and his name was Micaiah. Micaiah was the grandson of the Secretary of State who had actually read the words of the book of Deuteronomy to old King Josiah 18 years previously. Now his grandson stands in the courtyard and hears the word that God has given to Jeremiah being read aloud over the temple area. And as he listens to the word of God, he thinks to himself, this is something that has to be heard at the highest level. This has to be heard in the palace. The king has to know what God says. Now, Micaiah, because his grandfather had been the Secretary of State, obviously had access to places other people couldn't go, and so he goes into the palace and actually interrupts a committee meeting of some of the Secretary of State's assistants and colleagues in government that are actually sitting in a meeting in the palace, and Micaiah actually breaks in on them in the middle of their meeting. Verse 13, Micaiah told them what he'd heard. And immediately they send for Baruch. They say, you know, if there is a word of God, it needs to be heard in the palace. So Buchner comes into this interrupted meeting of the Secretary of State and he reads the Word of God. And they hear it and it has such impact upon them that they say this has to go all the way to the king himself. The king must hear this word for the good of this nation. So as we follow the story, they now come upstairs to the king's private quarters, and all of the king's personal attendants are standing around there. It went to a man by the name of Jehudi, who was a messenger, to actually read from the scroll. Verse 22. It was the ninth month, and the king was sitting in the winter apartment with a fire burning in the fire pot in front of him. And whenever Jehudi had read three or four columns from the scroll, you'd open a scroll bit by bit, a few inches at a time, and read in columns, the king cut them off with a scribe's knife and threw them into the fire pot until the entire scroll was burned in the fire. Now, why did Jehoiakim burn the Bible? Why would he burn the Word of God? God's Word announced to him a day of judgment, but he refused to believe it. Just refused to believe it. His father Josiah heard the Word of God and said, God's anger against us must be great. He trembled. But if you look at chapter 36 and verse 24, when Jehoiakim heard the word of God, we're told he showed no fear. He just regarded it as, well, this is just Jeremiah's opinion. This is just the spiritual thoughts of some heavenly-minded individual. This has nothing to do with reality or to do with me. He heard the word of God, but he simply didn't believe it. So he tossed it in the fire. Secondly, he heard the word of God as it identified his sin, but he refused to obey it. Very interesting that Josiah, when he heard the word of God, he tore his clothes. But again, if you look in verse 24, we're told very specifically, because it's important, that when Jehoiakim heard the word of God, he and his attendants did not tear their clothes. They said, well, this word has no authority over me. Don't think I'm going to change my lifestyle because of something that's said in the Bible. So he refused to believe it. He refused to obey it. And of course, for that reason, he refused to proclaim it. Remember, Josiah had said, well, all the nation needs to hear this. Jehoiakim said, we need to make sure that nobody else hears this. That's why he burned it. And of course, that was unsuccessful. Because no sooner had he burned it than verse 28, God says to Jeremiah, you just take another scroll and write on it all the words that were on the first scroll that Jehoiakim, king of Judah, has burned up. Now, there's a real pattern here. He won't believe it, won't obey it, wants to destroy it. You find exactly the same thing with the Pharisees in the New Testament. You remember in the same way Jesus nailed their sin. You read this in Matthew 23. Woe to you hypocrites. And Jesus nails their sin. But they won't obey it. No one tears their clothes that day. Then Jesus announced their future judgment. This temple that you think is so marvelous, one day not one stone will be left on top of another. But they found that simply incredible. They refused to believe it. Not only that, they attempted to destroy the word of God. You see, Jehoiakim took the word of God on a scroll and burned it. The Pharisees, with others, took the word of God in the flesh and tried to destroy him by nailing him to the cross. Of course, on the third day, he rose again. Because whatever you think about the Word of God, you simply cannot make it go away.
You're listening to Unlocking the Bible Weekend with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called Feed on God's Word. And we're going to get back to that in just a moment. But speaking of God's Word, do you have a firm understanding of the Bible story? Do you know the ups and downs, the hills and the valleys? Well, Pastor Colin has written a book that addresses that. It's called Open the Bible in 30 Days, and we'd love to send you a copy as you give a year-end gift of any amount. You can give online at unlockingthebible.org or when you call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. Let's get back to the message. Once again, here is Pastor Colin.
So the great question that I want to bring before us now as we try and apply this morning is simply this. How are you going to respond to the Word of God? And I want to give you four very simple pointers as to what it will mean for the Word of God to dwell in us richly, for us to go the way of Josiah and to avoid the plunge to disaster of Jehoiakim. The first thing is simply this. How should you respond to the Word of God? Read it. Read it. You know, very simply, a person who can read and a person who has a book in their own language has no advantage over an illiterate person who has no book in their own language if they do not read that book. And the great irony is that we have in the English language more translations of the Bible than at any other time in history or in any other language or culture. And yet, across the spectrum of evangelical Christians in America, let alone those outside the churches, the level of knowledge of God's Word has never been lower. Never lower. If you do not read the Bible, you will not know the God of the Bible. You may think you do, but what you'll carry in your head is a kind of image of God that you made up yourself. You made it up yourself because you never took the time to explore the Bible and find out God as he really is. And the problem with an image of God that you've made up yourself is that that's what the Bible calls an idol. And an idol can't save you. There's only one who can save you, and that is the God who reveals himself in the Bible. If you want to get to know him, you have to crack open your Bible, and more than crack it open, you have to build into your life the regular daily discipline of reading the Word of God. You can't go further if you don't read it. Build that discipline into your life. Let's commit today as we think of what it will take to build a life that God will indeed commend. That we build around a growing, deepening knowledge of the Word of God because we choose to read it. Number two, believe it. You see, when God spoke to Jehoiakim about the day of judgment, God speaks to us about a day of judgment too. Let me read you these words from the New Testament that speak about a day still to come. See, Jehoiakim lived in the shadow of a day when God would bring judgment on his city. We live in the shadow of a day that the Bible speaks about still future when God will bring judgment on the whole earth. Listen to how Peter describes it. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed with fire, and the earth and everything in them will be laid bare. See, here we are trying to make our life in this world, and we're rather like a crowd of people on the Titanic. We're trying to explore every possible activity that there is to do, everything that we could do in life in this world. But like the folks on the Titanic, what we've not understood is that this world itself is going down. And when you understand that the world itself is going down, then you'll begin to discover that the purpose of your life is not to explore every possible fun thing that you could imagine doing during your voyage on the ship. But the purpose of your life, if I can use this picture, is to say, where are the lifeboats and how can I make sure that not only I am in them, but as many other people as possible are in them as well? And those who have come to believe what God says about the ultimate future of this world have an entirely different perspective on life, an entirely different view of the world. Believe it. The history of this world has a definite beginning and a definite ending. At the creation, God started the stopwatch of time. And on the day of the Lord, he will push again the stopwatch of time and he will bring it all to an end. Believe it. And as you believe it, obey it. Peter says, since everything is going to be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? And someone said to me just this week, as people quite often say, if they've been around here for a while, you know, this place has changed so much. I remember Arlington Heights when it was all fields. You remember Arlington Heights when it was all fields? One day, Arlington Heights again will be all fields. Scorched fields. For that will be true of every place on this earth. It's what we've just read from the Bible. You believe it? And if we believe, therefore, fundamentally that we live in a world for a limited period of time, but that ultimately this world itself is going down, then we will have an entirely different view of our life. Believe it, obey it. And finally, proclaim it. See, one of the greatest mistakes that a person can ever make is to think that the Bible is a book that's simply about personal spiritual beliefs. This is why some people live with a confused notion that CNN is more relevant than the Bible, because they think that CNN is about real events and the Bible's just about vague spiritual personal beliefs. When the earth is destroyed with fire and melts with fervent heat, nobody in the judgment of God will doubt for a moment that that is a real event. Not for a moment. Not for a moment. And that was Jehoiakim's great mistake. He never took the word of God seriously. He simply blew it off. That was Jeremiah's opinion. I'd toss it in the fire. But the judgment God spoke about on him came. The judgment of the world itself will come. Every person who has ever lived will stand before Jesus Christ. Every person you have ever come to know or ever had a conversation with will either hear Jesus Christ say, "Come," or "Depart." That includes the king and queen of prom. It includes the snotty little kid at school that everyone despises. It includes the admin assistant with a fancy hairdo, the captain of the football team, and the coach. It includes the professor at the university and the man who brings your mail. It includes the lady who serves the donuts, and it includes the president of the United States of America. It includes the dictator of Iraq, and it includes the waitress who will bring your lunch if you eat out today. And if the weight of that begins to come in upon you, you say, you know, I believe the word of God. I believe that that is so. Then it will leave you saying, but then what hope is there? And the very last thing today is simply this. Come back to the story one more time. The only way to survive the judgment in Jehoiakim's time was to surrender in advance to the king who brought it. Now, Jehoiakim, of course, refused to do that. He said, I'm going to fight that king. But his successor, a man by the name of Jehoiachin, took a different route. He was king for only 3 months, and he said, I can't fight this king. And he surrendered to him. And he was taken away from Jerusalem, along with many others. In fact, whole community were taken away from Jerusalem into exile in the land of Babylon. They were taken to another place. And then when the day of destruction came across Jerusalem and the armies invaded and Babylon destroyed the whole city and one stone wasn't left on top of another, they were already in another place, kept safe under the protection of the king who was the judge. And that is a beautiful picture that shines right into the New Testament. Because the hope that is offered to us by God, who himself is the judge, is that he will offer protection to those who in advance of that day of his judgment will surrender themselves to him. And the hope of every Christian believer is that those who have surrendered themselves to Jesus Christ are going to be taken out to another place before this day of final destruction comes. This is what the Bible speaks about. One will be taken and another will be left. Those who have surrendered to the king will be taken into his protection. Those who have resisted the king will be left to face his ultimate judgment and destruction. You can be saved from this judgment if, hearing the word of God, believing it and obey it, you surrender yourself to the king. And if you have chosen that path, then you may be a means of bringing that message of hope to every other person you meet. Why does God speak to you and me about our sin and about judgment? Because he wants to drive you to Christ so that you may be saved.
What a powerful way for us to wrap up today's message. Why does God speak to you and me about our sin and about judgment? Because he wants to drive us to Christ. I hope that as you've been listening to this message, Feed on God's Word, that you've seen the need that all of us have for a relationship with Jesus Christ. And for those of you who do know him, I hope that you celebrate in that fact, rejoice in that. For those of you who don't know Jesus, but you would like to, or at least like to know more about beginning a relationship with him, I hope you'll contact us here at Unlocking the Bible. We have pastors on staff who would love to talk with you about that. You can reach us through our website, unlockingthebible.org, or call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. You know, as you give a gift of support to Unlocking the Bible this month, we'd love to send you Colin's book entitled Open the Bible in 30 Days.
Yes, at the heart of what we do in Unlocking the Bible, we really want to introduce people to the big picture of the Bible story. And Steve, for many years, I've wanted to be able to put together a short, simple, accessible journey through the Bible, something that anybody, even without any background in the Bible, could pick up and read and feel that they had discovered the storyline of the Word of God. And this is it. Through our partnership with Moody Publishers, we have opened the Bible in 30 days. You could read one of these chapters in 6 or 7 minutes. And so you could use it as a daily devotional. It'll take you from Genesis through to Revelation. It'll give you the whole storyline of the Bible. And, you know, I think there are many folks who feel, I'd like to get into God's Word. I just don't know where to begin. This is the place to begin. Open the Bible in 30 days. I'm so grateful that we have the opportunity of sending you a copy of this book this month.
Again, it's called Open the Bible in 30 Days, and it is our gift to you as you give a gift of any amount to Unlocking the Bible this month. You can give your gift online or just find out more. Come to our website. It's unlockingthebible.org, or you can call us at 1-866-UNLOCKED. That's 866-865-6253. Or again, our website is unlockingthebible.org. Well, thanks for listening today, and I hope you'll join us next time. Unlocking the Bible Weekend is a listener-supported production of Unlocking the Bible. Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus, but that wasn't his greatest plunge to disaster. Find out what was on the next Unlocking the Bible.